Why aren't the American people allowed to know? Just like, can we find out what category they were in? Were they a farmer? Were they a banker? What were they?
Maybe they happened to be in New York City at the time doing other spy operations.
Maybe there just happened to be some Jews visiting Brooklyn. I guess. That changes things. Now we've got Jews taking pictures of the World Trade Center and they have cash and passports.
If you work in politics or media in any way, shape, or form, if you question them, you would immediately be fired. You would be labeled a kook, a conspiracy.
Good. There are some things that are so retarded that if you haven't done any research, any homework, any effort, yeah, you should be ostracized and shunned and kicked out. Your job is to give answers. You're a journalist. You don't just ask questions on air with no, that's what retards do.
I think he's telling the truth.
You think that Trump was an FBI informant?
Yes, I do.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Why do you think that?
Number one, that's a super weird thing to make up. You don't just slip up and go, oh yeah, John Iderol is a CIA agent. You're like, wait, what? Why would that even pop into your head?
No, come on. If we're being honest, Mike was just reaching for words to sound good. He's like, oh, this guy told on Epstein to the FBI and stuff. He was an FBI informant.
I don't think I'm mistaken in noticing a change in you, to be quite frank, and it's a change that I personally like. There's a certain seriousness and maturity in the way.
This is the Jewish space laser lady.
The official story on 9/11 is a complete lie. The 9/11 report is a joke.
You have the CIA following two men all over the planet and then eventually even to America, right? And you don't tell the FBI. 9/11 Commission, cover.
So what did happen? What did the government know? What did foreign governments know? There was a cover-up. Why? It's been nearly... What did foreign governments...
Why'd they show that guy?
...governments know? There was a cover-up. Why? It's been nearly 25 years. It is time Americans learned what actually happened. We're going to tell you. We're releasing one episode per week. You're not going to want to wait. If you're a member, you don't have to. You get... Did the government know?
Am I having a faceplant moment, or is this is Netanyahu, right? Why? Okay. What is this? What is? Why is it just because we hate Israel? Why is his? He wasn't even the prime minister when 9/11 happened. No, I don't even know what his position in government was.
Governments know there was a cover up.
Just because he's the most recognizable Israel guy.
You get all five episodes the day it drops, right then, ad free. Our first episode airs Thursday, 9/11, September 11th. You will not want to miss it. Join us now at TuckerCarlson.com.
All right. Well, that trailer and this docu-series that's coming up on the Tucker Carlson
docu-series
network is getting a lot of attention, so much so that Piers Morgan interviewed him today just to ask some questions and to challenge what many believe are simply crazy conspiracy theories among conspiracy theorists in regard to what took place on 9/11. I don't know what I personally believe. Obviously, this hasn't been published yet, but I thought that this conversation, this exchange...
Spoiler alert. She's going to agree with every single thing Tucker Carlson says.
Change between Piers Morgan and Tucker Carlson was fascinating. And we're going to just give you a few highlights. Please watch the entire conversation for yourselves. But before I get into it, Cenk, any initial thoughts?
Well, before I never entertained the idea that 9/11 was anything but what the government said. And so I was like, what did they make the planes disappear? They get willing to kill everybody on the planes. It all sounds absurd. So I now think that I have seen the government do so many terrible things repeatedly and cover up for it repeatedly that I am no longer sure. And when you see things like World Trade Center
Building 7, the big meme. What happened to that? What happened to Building 7, guys?
World Trade Center 7, a building across the street, apparently was so hot that the steel inside the building melted from across the street. But the government found Mohammed Atta's paper passport conveniently on top of the rubble.
Like, this is one of those talking points that got brought up a lot. Honestly, I thought this was like kind of weird. Really? His passport? But then as part of our research on that one thing, I mean, it's paper. It's not like it plummets to the ground. Apparently, it's really common at crash sites that you find people's IDs, wallets, passports. Like, that's just a really common phenomena. I didn't know that until studying the 9/11 shit, that actually happens like pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Things that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I know the answer, but I'm beginning to come to some conclusions about what is not the answer.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at as well, right? I'm not running around saying 9/11 was an inside job. I don't know, but I do know.
But she did do the Dancing Israelis meme already on Twitter, though.
That there are some serious issues with what the, you know, accepted narrative is. And in fact, they're about to get into an exchange in regard to Building 7. So let's go to the first clip.
Huge parts of the 9/11 story were left out of the commission report. For example, what happened to Building 7, which was not only not next to the Twin Towers, which were hit by airplanes, but had a building in between itself and those buildings, collapsed that afternoon for reasons that no one has been able to explain since.
It was massively on fire. The whole inside of the building was. I always like how people will ask these questions that they come off as like kind of like a truism thing where it's like, obviously the answer is obvious, but it's like, is it? People say, well, like, would you really expect a building that's on fire, that's made of steel, would you really expect that building to collapse? And it's like, well, I guess not. But then it's like, well, actually, I don't know. I've never seen a full ass fucking huge ass building on fire before when two other buildings were hit with planes. I don't know the answer to that. I don't even know if I can intuit the answer to that. This is a massive thing that we're talking about here. I don't know if it's the same as like Lego blocks.
You're not a lunatic for asking. There is no real, there's no plausible explanation for how that building collapsed.
So that's the issue at play here, that I wanted to give you that portion of what Tucker Carlson had to say. And Piers Morgan attempts to explain it to some extent by providing what he feels is a similar example of another building, like just melting away similarly to Building 7.
Yeah. Before we go to that clip, Anna, I just want to say, this story broke today. I didn't know that was going to be the first topic. Mm-hmm. And for all the times that I had this conversation with Ben and a million other people, I would always say, look, guys, I get everything, and I'm not a physicist. I don't know how the plane could hit or couldn't hit or could crash or couldn't crash. I got no expertise on that. Just that building that is not anywhere near the other buildings just melting down, I've never thought that made any sense. And what we should expect from our government is logical answers,
right?
Not like, whatever, shut up, you're a conspiracy theorist.
On the evening of September 11th,
you should never get any real answer.
Hold on, I'm sorry, just because I can't let this retarded speak uninterrupted. We'll watch this real quick.
On the evening of September 11th, 2001, after the world witnessed the tragic collapse of the World Trade Centers, a nearby building mysteriously...
I don't know where this, like, it was nowhere nearby. This is like the wet market was 1 mile from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Like, no, it was like 12 kilometers. And also, even 1 mile is kind of far when you're talking about, like, walking, like, you walk by a ton of people in a mile in a huge city. And it was 12 kilometers, okay, not 1 mile. It's just like things that...
The WTC-7. How did this almost perfect-looking building collapse? The key to this mystery lies in this video footage. Did you notice a sharp V-shaped dent at the top of the building well before the main collapse? This was the penthouse of WTC-7. Exactly below this dent, you'll be able to observe the three main columns of the building. You can conclude that this dent happened simply because these three columns collapsed.
Is there a way to unf*** people's minds? It feels like a lot of people are actually saying. The problem is that the mind is working, but it's not a problem with logical thought. There's some political thing that's f***ing it. Because there are so many ways that you could protect yourself from a trap like this. Like, you could just think, okay, hold on. Okay, so there's a terrorist attack against the World Trade Centers, right? Yes. And the U.S. government allowed it to happen. Let's say all that, right? Okay, sure. Why would the terrorists also make Building 7 collapse? Like, what would be the purpose of that? Like... Let's assume your framing is totally true, that this is nowhere near the World Trade Centers, no planes hit it, and the World Trade Centers were brought down with controlled demolitions, or I guess planes hit it and they were allowed to close. Why would they make Building 7 collapse too? For the love of the game? Yeah, like what's your theory on this? But the thing that sucks, and this is the same thing with the lab leakers, there's never an alternate theory. There's never a single alternate theory that they have to defend. It's just a whole bunch of like, what about this? 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 And in any official story, in any factual accounting of a story, there's always going to be a couple facts that might just be hard to account for. There's just like weird shit that happens sometimes. Like, I don't know. Either a guy drove fast or, you know, a dude tripped two times in the same spot, or, you know, like sometimes weird shit happens in life. Weird shit does happen, you know? Justin, isn't the legit conspiracy that Intel people didn't share information that they should have? I think there was an effort to avoid blame, but just hella boring compared to holographic Jew planes. Well, but that's not a conspiracy. I think that was pretty well understood. But it wasn't that they were not sharing info because they wanted the American people to die. It's that there was a real problem with coordination between intelligence departments. I think this is why the Department of Homeland Security was created, was to facilitate more interflow of information between these agencies. But it wasn't because they wanted to watch America die and for us to go to war in the Middle East for Israel and Jews and everything.
UTC-7.
Okay, sorry. Just need to make a quick pit stop there. Okay, back to this.
Cool answers.
Right.
Not like, whatever, shut up, you're a conspiracy theorist and you should never get any real answers. So the reason I interrupted you is because I'm super curious what Piers Morgan's going to say, because I've literally never heard a proper explanation for it.
Like, this is the thing that I don't understand, right? I don't understand. What am I saying? What am I saying right now? Hold on, am I treating this like a serious question when I shouldn't be? Because like, sometimes I'm curious like why things happen. But like, we have the internet, so I just like look it up, right? Back in the day, we had to run to Mr. Britannica and ask him, or God forbid, Yahoo or Ask Jeeves or the library. That, but like, if you really want to know, 9/11 was, man, 6, 7, 8 years ago, not 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 24 years ago. It was a long time ago. You've had a lot of time. You've had so much time to look up the answer to that question. How have you not a single time watched any video or read anything ever? One time. Ever.
Like, when I believe 9/11 100%.
Well, let's go to the official story. Let's see what he had to say.
If you look into the investigation into Tower 7, the findings of the investigation into it were that the North Tower, when it came down, had set off a load of fires in Building 7. And it was a steel structure and shouldn't have gone down, but it did. These fires burned all afternoon, and I think it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon or something, that the tower eventually gave way to the welter of fires raging inside it. And it was the only time that had happened to a structure that was built in that way. However, there has been another tower very similar to that in structure, which has since gone down in Tehran. So it's no longer the only one. In other words, there is another example of a tower like that collapsing.
Okay, so you can see Tucker Carlson smiling in response to what Piers Morgan is saying, probably because, okay, well, if you want to make that argument that the fire was so hot that it led to the collapse of Building 7, well, what happened to the building in between, right? And nothing happened to that building? And so I want to give Tucker an opportunity.
Well, but all of those buildings were extremely damaged. What do you mean? But they were also probably supporting a lot less weight, right? Because the buildings were significantly smaller.
Need to respond to that, and then we can discuss.
What is the alternative explanation? I mean, if you're examining another theory other than the one that the investigation concluded was simply...
This is the question. So what is your alternative hypothesis? Give us one.
The North Tower came down, fires were set off in Tower 7, and then it eventually collapsed. What is the other theory which we should give more credence to?
I don't know that the onus is on me or anyone.
Oh my God, this guy. I was going to say, I don't want to say this in advance because I don't want to give him any credit. But I was going to say, I'll give him a little bit of credit if he at least gives like a coherent theory on the other end. But yes... The onus is on you now, because there is an official story. It is supported by a ton of evidence. There are some weird things, sure, but there's never going to be a story that accounts cleanly and neatly, and that every single fact is going to be the most obvious thing to happen every single time. And then if not, you have to, like, justify? I don't even know how you say justify. Like, sometimes there's just weird shit that happens. Like, you have to give an alternative explanation.
One who seeks the truth about what happened to come up with an alternative theory, the onus is on federal authorities to explain why, for example, they never investigated it. Why, for example, the rubble and the steel...
They never investigated what?
...from that building was carted off within hours and sent out of the country to Asia. Why, for example...
These are new ones I haven't even heard before.
An analysis done not by kooks, but by chemists, found traces of explosive material in the dust from that day. Why structural engineers who have kind of no skin in this game came to the conclusion that just couldn't happen based on all available evidence. And that none of that is addressed at all or even mentioned in the 9/11 report. So, and there are all kinds of anomalies, as I know that you're fully aware, and there are possible explanations to explain all of them. For example, the BBC report on air saying the building had fallen when it hadn't fallen yet.
He's right about that BBC report. And Pierce later says that the BBC report was based on an erroneous report by Reuters. Okay.
That does.
Like, think about what you're saying here. Do you understand what they're implying? They're implying that all the mainstream media companies around the world had already gotten the conspiracy notes and were supposed to be reporting about the falling building. It doesn't even make sense. What are you even positing here? That the BBC was given talking points of the building collapsing ahead of time? Why would they even need those talking points? They could just talk about it collapsing as it collapses. It doesn't even make sense. Like, it's so stupid. This is such a nonsense talking point. Oh, these are some of the untouched buildings. Untouched. Why didn't this one collapse? This is an aerial view. It shows only a small portion of the crime scene where the World Trade Center collapsed. Following the surrounding buildings were heavily damaged by the debris at massive force. Falling twin towers. Cleanup efforts were expected to continue for months. Pristine condition. What about this building? What's this one right here? What was this one made out of?
It doesn't explain anything.
It doesn't.
How did Reuters know the building was going to collapse before it got hit?
Exactly.
Like, what is your alternate explanation? Like, you don't you have to give something? What do you think? That they were all told ahead of time that it was supposed to collapse?
Yeah.
So, look, I don't know those
details.
We don't
know. We don't know. Okay. And, like, I'm very interested to watch this docuseries and the claims that it makes. I was super young when 9/11 happened.
Why not go watch anything else educational ever? Like, you guys are so airheaded. I'm so curious to watch. Why is it the only shit you'll watch? It's actual brain rot memes. Why not go watch like an actual documentary? Why not go watch an actual reporter, an actual physicist, or the Popular Mechanics series that went over Loose Change? Or like, there's a billion videos out there. Like, are we seriously 25 years later thinking like, man, I wish there was anything made about what happened on 9/11. Thank God Tucker Carlson is here to free us from our ignorance. Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, and like, I'm very interested to watch this docuseries and the claims that it makes. I was super young when 9/11 happened. I was in high school. And the thought of, you know, this being a big conspiracy was ridiculous to me. It didn't even cross my mind. I was a child, okay? But revisiting this now, I do have a lot of questions.
Yeah, no, it's over. Look, we're at a seminal moment in American politics and media. Before, there was a whole bucket of things you could not question. The minute you question them, what would happen? Wow, what does that mean you can't question them? You say anything you want in a backyard barbecue, right? But if you work in politics or media in any way, shape, or form, if you question them, you would immediately be fired. You would be labeled a kook, a conspiracy.
Good! There are some things that are so fucking retarded that if you haven't done any research, any homework, any effort, yeah, you should be ostracized and shunned and kicked out. Go to some other fucking island or go to some other place. You're too retarded to be here. There should be a minimum threshold. We should call them thought crimes. That's what we need. We need to bring thought crimes back. If you think retarded thoughts, you're out of here.
Theories and probably some sort of character assassination on top attached to it.
No, that's not character assassination, Cenk. That's character suicide. You are committing character suicide because you're supposedly some 60-year-old guy who's been commenting on politics for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and not one time in the history of all the politics have you thought to look up what happened to the World Trade Centers. And now it's apparently a huge subject of interest for you, and you still can't take the time. What the fuck do these guys do all day? What do they do with their lives all day? Do they work? Are they broadcasting for 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week? Like, what the fuck are you doing in your free time?
Anti-Semite, a racist, a this, a that, whatever it is. But you're dispatched. You're not allowed on air, right? Now, because of digital media, they can't contain it. And now everybody's asking questions, and they're like, fire Tim Dillon. Damn it, we can't fire Tim Dillon. Okay, then fire Joe Rogan. God damn it, we can't fire Joe Rogan. So now people are starting to ask and ask and ask. And so what I'm telling you now about the seminal moment is we've crossed the Rubicon. You can ask any goddamn thing you like.
Right.
Okay? And if they try to fire you for it, they're the bad guys, not you.
And okay? Asking the question doesn't mean that you already think that it's a conspiracy and you're just trying to prove that it's a conspiracy. The questions about Building 7 are legitimate questions. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm...
Like, it's just so fucking cringe. I would kill myself if I was pretending to be in media and asking like the most retarded fucking questions in the universe. Like how you think nobody has spoken about this? Nobody's looked into this. Like, what an unbelievably fucking stupid thing to say on air. Like, oh my God, guys, it's 2025. Has anybody looked into Building 7? Has anybody thought about what's going on there? Like,
I'm willing to get convinced on anything, but Building 7 is a mystery that is nearly impossible. Like, the idea that the towers would collapse themselves, north and south, after they got hit, that the steel could burn so much that they could collapse, is a very controversial idea within engineering circles, right? But the fact, but a building across the street with other buildings in between, no, the steel didn't burn down. No way. That is not the correct answer. So the same thing with JFK. So if you, for when I was growing up, if you ever said anything about JFK, you were told to shut up and you'd get fired, etc. Now, I don't know who killed JFK because I don't have the secret files in front of me. I don't know what happened on 9/11, but it's not my job to know. It's my job to ask questions, mm-hmm. right? And it's the job.
No, it's not your job to ask questions. You fucking retard, you fat piece of shit. Your job is to give answers. You're a journalist. You don't just ask questions on air with no, that's what retards do. Hey, did anybody know about or when journalists say they're asking questions, that's part of their investigative method to deliver answers to the public. You're not supposed to just sit up here and ask what happened here? What about that? What about that? What about any random retard can do that?
Job of the government to tell us the correct answers. So what I'm telling you now is, on JFK, I'm absolutely positive the government story is not the correct answer. Lee Harvey Oswald didn't shoot him from three states away and hit everything else in between and is the greatest shot of all time, even though he had nothing to do with JFK.
You didn't need to be the greatest shot of all. Other people have made those shots. It's not the great. People act like this guy was like 360 no-scoping three times in a row with instant reload aim hacks.
Okay. There's tons and tons of people who despise JFK and wanted him killed. They said on the record they wanted him killed.
Also, wasn't it like 120 yards or something?
So I don't know which one of them did it. I do know that it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald acting by himself. And if you want to do the old games and say, well, the government said it, so you're a conspiracy theorist, you can do that all day long, guys.
Haven't we watched videos of this, of like other Marines making these shots? They were like decently hard shots, sure. But I mean, is the Lee Harvey Oswald shot possible?
Glaring omissions in the test fired for the commission. CBS News decided to conduct its own tests with the Mannlicher Carcano.
A moving target is harder to hit than a stationary one, and the elevation of the sixth floor window might make a difference. The only elevation for the Warren Commission firing tests was a 30-foot tower, less than half the height of the book depository's sixth floor above Elm Street. So CBS News had a tower and target track constructed to match exactly the heights and distances in Dealey Plaza.
Right, am I retarded? No, maybe just only the good media survived. Well, I feel like our older media was so good. Am I crazy?
Target track was angled to match precisely the angle of Elm Street. The target, a standard FBI silhouette, moved by electric motor at 11 miles an hour, approximately the speed of the presidential limousine. A rifle of the same make and age as Oswald's was fitted with the same four-power telescopic sight found on his rifle. 11 volunteer marksmen took turns firing clips of three bullets each at the moving target. None of the men had much familiarity with the Italian Mannlicher Carcano, although each was given time to practice at a nearby indoor range, and most of the volunteers were experienced with bolt-action rifles. In each case, the first shot was fired at a point approximating the point at which the Warren Commission deduced the first shot was fired. Distance, about 175 feet. In 6 seconds, the distance grows to 270 feet. Results varied. A Maryland state trooper made two hits in the silhouette. One near miss. in slightly less than 5 seconds. Another state trooper's best time was 5.4 seconds.
Jeez.
1 hit, 2 near misses. A weapons engineer had the best score.
Jeez.
3 hits in 5.2 seconds.
What was the time for all 3 shots being fired? How long did it take for all 3 shots fired? Lee Harvey Oswald. 8 seconds? This is the one where they're like, he fired so fast and accurate that it was impossible. Well, this says slightly less than 6 seconds.
But it doesn't matter, because you said on the record they wanted him killed. So I don't know which one of them did it. I don't know that it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald acting by himself. And if you want to do the old games and say, well, the government said it, so you're a conspiracy theorist. You can do that all day long, guys. But it doesn't matter, because you lost. Because now
he's right. We did lose. Retardation did win in the end of the day. But it's not because you were correct on things. It's just because you guys were so fucking loud with your retardation that you ended up drowning out all the other voices. They had good job.
You look ridiculous. So now when you turn back to 9/11, no, I don't know the answer, guys. I don't know who did it, why they did it. Or maybe it did happen just like October 7th, where it's not that Israel did it, but there was a weird stand down order. Why was there a stand down order? And that's not me saying, that's IDF soldiers saying there was a stand down order right at that exact time. Down order. Maybe it did happen. So now when you turn back to 9/11, no, I don't know the answer, guys. I don't know who did it, why they did it. Or maybe it did happen just like October 7th, where it's not that Israel did it, but there was a weird stand down order.
What's the weird stand down? What is this? What should I read from all of them? What is the weird stand down order? What are we talking about here? Like they were fighting Hamas that was in Israel. Like that was a thing that was happening. Or
why was there a stand down order? And that's not me saying, that's IDF soldiers saying there was a stand down order right at that exact time when we never have a stand down order. So that's not me saying Israel did it. That's me saying that's weird.
That is weird. Right? We need an answer to that.
Yeah. And you need a plausible answer to that. Not trust me, bro, which is what the government's been doing the entire time. And then one more quick thing on Pierce's answer. So now we're told that conveniently there was a building that melted down in a similar way in Tehran. Wait, does Iran acknowledge that? Or is that some intelligence we got from a trusted ally? And just trust us, bro, that building went down just like World Trade Center 7 did.
You spent 1 hour so far debunking 2 claims, 10-minute long video, so much time wasted on what is essentially already answered questions that these people asking questions could have just looked up themselves before spreading all this bullshit. Yeah, well, they've never looked up, or they don't care. I guess it's just frustrating, because like I said, that it's not even so much that they're wrong, it's not even so much that they're retarded and malicious, it's that it sucks away oxygen from having actual conversations about stuff that might be important to talk about. Now we have to, now it's just like we talk about this stupid shit.
Yeah, maybe and maybe not.
Should we play a few more clips?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the topic then switched to whether anyone may have known that this terror attack was gonna happen, but withheld that information or that intel from the American people.
Israel Jews.
Well, the American government anyway. Let's get to that clip.
Is it cock up, or do you think there is merit to suggestion that some people somewhere must have known more than we've been told?
Well, I'm just asking questions, it's certainly plausible.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, we know that people did know more than we've been told. I mean, somebody shorted the airlines and a bunch of the banks that were affected. Now, this is not—
Somebody shorted something? People are shorting things all the f***ing time. What, like, okay.
Not a conspiracy theory, it's not a guess. This is publicly available information. Now, the FBI found out the identity of the person or institution that shorted these events on 9/11 and made a huge amount of money by doing that.
How much? Why not say the amount?
It never released that information. So why
can't— Well, then how do you even know about it?
We know who clearly had foreknowledge. I mean, if you're shorting American Airlines a week before 9/11, when no one knows it's coming, I think you should have to explain why you did that. And if you're—
Really? So every single person has to explain every single action that they did that they might have somehow in a roundabout way been benefited from? Like, I was planning on going to New York this September, but I canceled my plans. Now the FBI is going to come knocking on your door. Like, why'd you cancel your plans? Well, we noticed that you stayed home instead. That's really f-ing weird. Did you know 9/11 was going to happen? What the f- kind of, like, do you— Like, this is so on its face absurd. Such an absurd proposition that every single person now has to account for every single— Jesus Christ.
You're shorting Barclays and banks that were affected by 9/11. Why can't we know who you are? These are public markets, by the way. This is not private equity. This is publicly traded equities.
That's fascinating. I mean, there could be an explanation for why that individual decided to short American Airlines. It could have been a crazy coincidence.
Yeah.
Publicly traded doesn't mean that everybody's positions are known to all people at all times. Like, I buy and sell publicly traded stocks. I don't think you can look up the individual buyer and seller of every single publicly traded stock.
Yeah. So look, again, the question, the problem isn't the answer, the problem is that we weren't allowed to ask before.
Right.
So for example, is it possible that somebody had a different hunch based on a completely different thing and they shorted American and they got quote unquote lucky, right? In that sense. Now you could say that.
Or it could just be that, airlines are always like good short targets because they suck. They're like the least profitable companies in the United States. That's why we're changing them so often. What do you mean?
I was rolling your eyes. Oh, yeah, what a coincidence. But it might be. Right. It might be, right? It depends on the scale of it. It depends.
I like how they're pretending that's like the most unlikely thing ever, but they're being charitable. Like, is it possible that maybe somebody could have chose to short the exact airlines that would go, that would decrease the value? I mean, I guess it's possible. We're being fair. I guess it's possible. Like, wow, dude.
On who it is it Rand Obama from Nebraska? Well, how the hell would he know, right? But if it's somebody from the intelligence community, wait, that's a different thing, right? If it's a senator, that's a different thing, right? So why aren't the American people allowed to know? I mean, you don't even have to give me the brother's name, whether it was the guy who shorted Barclays or the company that did or American or whatever. Just like, can we find out what category they were in? Were they a farmer? Mm-hmm. Were they a banker? What were they, right? But for everything, they always tell you the same thing. Shut up. Otherwise, we'll ruin you. You will assassinate your character and say you're a conspiracy theorist and you'll never work again.
Yeah.
That reaction makes me think, wait, maybe this is worse than I thought.
Yeah, guys,
because why have, what a weirdo reaction for the most normal questions about.
They're not normal questions. I want to know the status of every single trade that you might have engaged in prior to now. That's not a normal question at all. That's a insane question. What if there was some dude who worked at the FBI or the CIA and he's like, oh, I'm going to short all the airline stocks, you know, this week. And it's like 9/11. I was like, oh, shit. And now Jen gets access to all of your trades, like this random, you know, like low-level worker knew the whole 9/11 plot. He's like, well, me, I guess. Jesus.
One of the most important events in American history.
It is one of the most important and most tragic events in American history. It was the largest terror attack on U.S. soil. Okay, thousands of people died, and it served as the catalyst for changing this country forever, and not for the best, I would argue, okay? Violations of America.
Bring up the Jew shit. You know you want to. What are the three ones? It's dancing Israelis, the Jewish text messages, and the insurance for the building owners, please God.
Americans' privacies, mass surveillance, you know, the Patriot Act, obviously. Foreign wars, it just goes
global war on terrorism that costs us $8 trillion.
Yes.
Happen to take out other people's enemies, not our enemies. Anyways, but.
Other people's enemy. Just say it, you fucking wuss. You're such a Just say it. Just say it, okay? Israel's enemies, say it.
It just
global war on terrorism that costs us $8 trillion.
Yes.
Happen to take out other people's enemies, not our enemies. Anyways, but one other thing, the Bin Ladens.
Mm-hmm.
So why did we fly out the Bin Ladens? No one's ever answered that.
That's a great question.
So that was a question from the left. That was Michael Moore asking that question. What a weird, weird reaction. You're telling me Osama Bin Laden did it, and your first reaction was to gather up all the Bin Ladens that apparently live inside America and fly them out first class to Saudi Arabia.
Why?
And I'm not allowed to ask why? No.
I don't even know what the reference, I haven't heard this one before.
That's crazy talk. Guys, this isn't about right or left. This is about our government doesn't represent us, and they keep telling us funny stories that don't make any sense. The minute you ask one question, they try to take your head off.
Yeah.
So you got one more?
One more clip. Let's take a look.
So clearly, yes, there was foreknowledge. By the way, there was a team. This is according to the FBI, by the way. This is the FBI saying there was a
team of Mossad dancing. Please do the dancing Israelis. Please! So that Anna can go off. Queen.
Team of clearly intel-connected foreigners who were
dancing.
Arrested after 9/11, as you well know.
Dancing.
Videotaping. The terror attacks. This is, I'm almost verbatim quoting from the FBI assessment of this.
About to come.
And the FBI determined that they apparently had foreknowledge of the attacks.
Say it.
So why can't we know more about that? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Shut up. That's bigoted. No, this is my country.
So I don't.
Oh, he's not going to say dancing?
I don't know if he's referring to the five Israelis witness had seen taking photos, not reporting, but taking photos of the World Trade Center as it was being attacked.
Yes.
And one of them was holding a lighter up to the World Trade Center prior to the attack. And I don't know if that's what he's referring to, but those.
Like. How did they crack the code on Israel being behind 9/11 and knowing about it? Well, what happened was one of the Mossad agents was holding a lighter up while video recording it in a clearly public area where everybody else could see them. And that's how they exposed the entire plan. Jesus.
Five individuals were kept in U.S. custody for over 2 months. The FBI absolutely did believe that at least two of them had connections to Mossad, right? The Israeli intelligence organization. And I read the FBI files on this, and the investigation just like
doubt it.
Abruptly kind of ended after a little over 2 months. John Ashcroft specifically, the attorney general at the time, called for them to be released and sent back to Israel. And then a few years after that, he served as a consultant who consulted on behalf of Israel.
I mean, it's absurd. So guys, look, on that one, again, that's the one that people get most touchy about because they assume all sorts of things in your head that aren't in your head. They're like, oh, that must mean that you hate Israel and you hate Jews and you hate this. No, hold on, guys. We're not talking about any of that. We're saying, why did they go to document that event? And that's not my words, that's their words. One of them was on Israeli TV afterwards when he was shipped back to Israel, and they said, why did you go? And he slipped up. I assume he slipped up. He said, we went to document the event, which makes you.
He slipped up. He slipped up and said, we're going to go record the largest terrorist attack ever that's happened in all of your history. Oops.
Why did they go to document that event? And that's not my words. That's their word. Because they assume all sorts of things in your head that aren't in your head. Like, oh, that must mean that you hate Israel and you hate Jews and you hate this. No, hold on, guys. We're not talking about any of that. We're saying, why did they go to document that event? And that's not my words. That's their words. One of them was on Israeli TV afterwards when he was shipped back to Israel. And they said, why did you go? And he slipped up. I assume he slipped up. He said, we went to document the event, which makes you ask, how did you know there was going to be an event?
Like, how can you be saying shit like this and think you're a serious person? Like this is where we're at right now, really? This is a serious broadcast in our alternative media landscape? This is real right now? Then the guys went on TV and they were like, why'd you go there? And like, we were there to document the terrorist acts. Like, house moment. They must have known in advance if they went there to record it.
So now you're not supposed to ask that question. Otherwise, you're going to get called all sorts of names.
And by the way, there could even be, there could even.
Wait, I don't think I've seen this before.
But that was always so funny to me because it's like, what do you think happened, right? Like the CIA was like, okay, plan's ready to go. Ready to blow up the World Trade Center. There's only one step left.
The dancing is real?
The clues.
Oh, the clue.
Yep. Yeah, it's clue time. It's time to get the clues out there. So we're going to have the Treasury team up with Mad Magazine.
Even be a legitimate explanation for that, right? Maybe they happened to be in New York City at the time doing other spy operations. The claim was that, you know, or the FBI.
Maybe there just happened to be some Jews visiting Brooklyn. I guess. Maybe. We're supposed to believe that maybe there are a few Jewish people, I guess, visiting New York City. It's possible.
Also believe that there were Israeli nationals or members or agents of Mossad here in the United States spying on Arabs. Okay, that's the...
Yeah, on Arabs.
On Arabs, okay.
Okay, that's what they say.
Maybe they just happen to be in New York City.
Is that
they,
okay, by the way?
I don't think that's okay, especially if our government and our intelligence organizations don't know about it. But okay, putting that aside for a second, maybe they saw that there was an attack and they went to this specific area to take more images and whatever of the World Trade Center. I don't know. I don't know what the explanation is. But the point is...
This is why people should be forced to debate, I think. If you're going to say outlandish shit like this, you should be forced to sit for an hour and a half with somebody else and you should have to have a back and forth so that the entire world could see how absolutely clueless you are about every single thing you talked about. And then I think it would force some humility and I think it would force some caution when these people utter statements like this because they know that they'll have to defend it at some point in the future. But the fact that you can just sit here and diarrhea out this garbage knowing that you'll never have any pushback whatsoever and then retreat to the arms of idiots like Tucker Carlson is absolutely insane to me.
These questions are okay to ask, especially when the moving company that these five Israelis were working for ended up being a total front. And the owner of that moving company immediately like scrambled to get back to Israel once the five individuals had been arrested. And by the way, in the moving truck, they found foreign passports, $4,700 in cash, all sorts of like weird, shady things that make you wonder, make you ask these appropriate questions. And remember, the five got arrested after a witness. Of like in the moving truck, they found foreign passports, $4,700 in cash.
Like, I don't even understand what that. So they found cash and passports, assuming everything she's saying is even true. But OK, so in some travelers in a truck, they found cash and passports. Like it's 2001. It's not like they were using Apple Tap to pay. I don't even know what we're. Yeah.
All sorts of like weird, shady things that make you wonder, make you ask these appropriate questions. And remember, the five got arrested after a witness saw them taking the photos of the World Trade Center and also, like, in her words, like celebrating. They looked happy.
Taking photos of the World Trade. What? Well, I didn't know that they were taking pictures of the World Trade Center, too. That changes things. Now we've got Jews in Israel taking pictures of the World Trade Center. And they have cash and passports.
All right. So, guys, last thing on this. Again, it doesn't mean that Israel did it, for example. It could be that they knew about it, like on October 7th, but chose not to say anything.
No. This is like, these would be like the best like gaslighting partners. Oh, my God.
It could be that they said something, but we didn't listen to them. OK, that could also be the case.
Right.
Remember, there was a famous CIA warning to Bush when he was on his Crawford Ranch. And they said Bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States. And Bush said, you covered your ass, now go home, and ignored it.
Right.
So there could be legitimate things. But if you have a legitimate answer, telling everybody to shut up and calling them bigots is a weird response. Right. And then final thought here. Now, no one disputes that they were Israeli spies and that they were released back to Israel. Right.
People just do like, dispute it even till this day. But
oh, I mean, of course, the Israeli government's going to lie about everything. So I don't mean like illegitimate, ridiculous things like there is no genocide in Gaza. No one got hurt in Gaza. I mean, you could say absurd things. Right. But like we know there was Israeli spies. ABC News reported it. Fox News reported it at the time, et cetera. The FBI in its own reports has the Israeli spies. Right. And then they send them back to Israel, just like we did with the Bin Laden. Why would you catch spies of?
Wait, it sounds like it was the family of Bin Laden that flew back to Saudi Arabia. Which also, I guess, probably makes sense of that, because they're probably going to get harassed or killed in the U.S. if they're still here. But also, these are like Arabs, okay? These guys have huge fucking families. Like,
wait. Any nation, let alone after the worst attack against your country ever, and then let them go. Why would you let them go? Why would you catch spies of any nation, let alone after the worst attack?
Oh, he's talking about the Israelis.
Against your country ever, and then let them go. Why would you let them go? That, like, assuming that Israel had absolutely nothing to do with it and no foreknowledge, no nothing, because we don't know that. But you did catch these Israeli spies. They did say they were there to document the event. Maybe they did. They said that later. So, but it is weird. They were taking pictures of it. You thought to question them for 2 months. That's how freaked out you were by it. And then all of a sudden, you don't just go, oh, okay, I get it. It was a miscommunication or whatever.
Well, isn't that exactly what would happen if there was nothing? You would investigate for a little bit. If you find nothing, they'd be released.
Or you guys didn't do anything wrong. You then say, even though I know you're a spy for a foreign country and you were spying on us here in America, you're free to go. Why are they free to go? Forget 9/11. We caught spies here. Yeah. Why are they free to go? Why were the bin Ladens free to go? Why were the Israeli spies free to go? That is not an illegitimate question. It doesn't get any more legitimate than that question. And if you can't answer that, the problem isn't in the person answering the question. The problem isn't the person that won't give the answer to the American people.
They were there to document the event. Like, there would be nobody there to take pictures. Yeah, I know. It's just, but again, they never have to give an alternate hypothesis. They just like ask 50 million questions over it, and that's it. And they don't even like, and again, you can tell because they don't even look up the answers, you know? House Democrats released sexually suggestive letter to Jeffrey Epstein purportedly signed by Trump, which he's denied. Voiceover, there must be more to life than having everything. Yes, there is, but I won't tell you what it is, nor will I, since I know what it is. We have certain things in common, Jeffrey, we do. Come to think of it, Enigma never age. Oh, enigmas never age. Have you thought of that? As a matter of fact, it was clear to me the last time I saw you. Pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday. Something, be another wonderful secret. Donald J. Trump. The FBI calls him Agent 007. Zero Epstein intel collected, zero kids saved, seven children.
I think he's telling the truth.
You think that Trump was an FBI informant?
Yes, I do.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Why do you think that?
Number one, that's a super weird thing to make up. You don't just slip up and go, oh yeah, John Iderol is a CIA agent. You're like, wait, what? Why would that even pop into your head? Okay, because it's also very specific. It's not, oh, he helped loosely. He said he was an FBI informant. Interesting. And no, I.
No, come on. If we're being honest, Mike was just reaching for words to sound good. He's like, oh, this guy helped. This guy told on Epstein to the FBI and stuff. He was an FBI informant. You know, he was doing this in real time. What the fuck? Yeah, apparently he's already walked it back. Wait, hello? I'm sorry. I need to listen to that again. 1 second.
An about face on Epstein since 2009. I'm going to read you those quotes in just a minute. But Jake, did you want to jump in?
Yeah. So look, guys, this Mike Johnson thing is really interesting. And no, I don't think he's lying. I think he's telling the truth.
You think that Trump was an FBI informant?
Yes, I do.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Why do you think that?
Bruh. Number one, that's a super weird thing to make up. You don't just slip up and go, oh yeah, John Iderol is a CIA agent. You're like, wait, what? Why would that even pop into your head?
Why would Mike Johnson, why would he even know that? Am I retarded? Was he like a former FBI director? What do you mean slip up? Like, is this just a well-known thing that everybody except the entirety of the American public? Why would you think he would even have that information? Well, like, what?
Okay, because it's also very specific. It's not, oh, he helped loosely. He said he was.
It literally was. He helped loosely. You could tell he was just reaching for stupid shit. Oh my God. Let's just to watch this again. It was obviously him just like, oh, he's an informant, basically. Like,
what Epstein did is a hoax. It's a terrible, unspeakable evil. He believes that himself. When he first heard the rumor, He kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to take this stuff down. The president knows and has...
You kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to take this down. Like, do you think he's making a strong statement here of, like, Donald Trump formally was, like, recognized? He was, like, a confidential informant to the FBI for Epstein. Like, why, even if that was true, why would he know it and no one else has leaked or talked about this? Well, why wouldn't Trump say this? What a stupid fucking... Okay, sorry. So Cenk believes that was like an accidental slip from a very, very, very real and true piece of information. All right.
The FBI informant.
I know, but when a politician speaks, they're usually lying. And oftentimes they say very...
Oh my God. This is our political commentary? Like, I'm watching an episode of House MD. When a politician speaks, they're usually lying. This is the level of analysis we get. Thank you.
Specific things that end up being.
I know,
but
think about it. Okay. Being an FBI informant is a disaster. That is not a thing that Trump would want anyone to know. Why? Because it's a bad idea to turn in a child predator? No. No, because usually they don't just come and go, hey, Bob, down the street, you want to be an FBI informant? No, they turn you into an FBI informant after they have evidence against you.
Oh, my. You know what? You're right. You're right.
This can't be real life. Is this actually like, bro, my media?
I hadn't even considered that.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why when he slips up, he even has like this little hitch in his head where he goes like, oops, I shouldn't have said that. You can almost see it.
Can
in
we
the video.
Cue that video up again? Yeah, that's actually a really good point, Cenk. I hadn't thought about that. Wow. Okay. So
there's more on that in a second. But yeah, let's see if we can see when he says it and how he reacts immediately after.
That he's not saying that what Epstein did is a hoax. It's a terrible, unspeakable evil. He believes that himself. When he first heard the rumor, he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to take this stuff down.
But also, he didn't kick him out when he first heard the rumor. He waited for one time and then a second time. Then he kicked him out, but okay.
Did you see it? He's like, he was an FBI informant. He did that. Like, oh, wait, I shouldn't have said that, right? So now I'm overinterpreting. You could say, hey, don't worry about the video. I didn't see what you saw. That's not important. What's important is he said he was an FBI informant. That is not a random thing you make up. Then why is he walking it back today? He's walking it back today because people are going to start asking the question I'm asking, which is why? Why was he an FBI informant? The number one group of people who are FBI informants are mobsters, as an example, who were caught and are going to go to prison for 20, 30 years or the rest of their life unless they turn on their boss, right? And so then they become an informant. Nobody ever becomes an informant out of the blue. Trump wasn't working at the FBI.
Right.
And the FBI flips him into an informant. So then you can't help but ask, why? What did Trump do?
That's such a good point. And I hadn't thought of that. Now, is that true, though, that no one is ever an FBI informant unless they're like essentially coerced into doing it because they engaged in wrongdoing and they don't want to be prosecuted for it?
So no, I can't say that it's true 100% of the time. But is it true an overwhelming percentage of the time? Yes. So I can envision a couple of scenarios. Somebody's in a maybe in a family or
2 weeks ago, Mike Collins said this.
I want to just ask my question, which was, party unity, the Epstein trials, do you think Trump's in there?
Yeah, I'm sure he's in there. Because he's the one who was telling the FBI about it. He's the one who kicked the guy out of Mar-a-Lago and then called the FBI. Yeah, he's in there.
So what's going to happen? Are you going to vote to release him? I vote to keep him.
Oh, we need to release him.
What about you?
Yeah, I have no problem releasing him. But, you've got to go through.
So this is the talking points they all got?
Nice. You got to go through the judicial. We all know that. But the problem is, it'd be our luck if somebody's going to bleep somebody that's supposed to be protected. And then what?
Yeah, well,
so
they've got to go through and victim's name and all that stuff.
They've got to go through and fix all of it. Yeah. And then, of course, now you got judges that are saying, I'm not going to release anything grand jury.
Or in a gathering that they didn't realize had bad guys in it. And then the FBI approaches them and says, you're a good guy. You were in this gathering, but you didn't know, but they're mobsters. Mm-hmm. So can you be an informant for us? Because you would save a lot of lives or et cetera. So it's not impossible. But the reason why that's very rare is because most of the time, the standard operating procedure is you flip people into becoming informants.
But Jake, it's amazing because now what we're talking about at this moment sheds some light on what is being referenced in this quote that I'm about to read to you. So this is Brad Andrews, an attorney who represents many of Epstein's victims. So this individual told reporters that Trump has done an about face on Epstein since 2009. Edward said that when he spoke to Trump in 2009, Trump was friendly to the victim's plight and did not think that it was a hoax and was trying to help.
Like, who the fuck cares? Trump says all sorts of why are we analyzing Trump's quotes like this is a serious person? Trump also said that he wishes the best for Ghislaine and hopes that, she has a good time in jail or whatever, right? Like, why are we analyzing any of this guy's quotes as a serious thing?
Ghislaine Maxwell is in prison. And so a lot of people want to know if she's going to turn in powerful people. And I know you've talked in the past about Prince Andrew, and you've criticized Bill Clinton's behavior. I'm wondering, do you feel that she's going to turn in powerful men? How do you see that working out?
I don't know. I haven't really been following it too much. I just wish her well, frankly. I've met her numerous times over the years, especially since I lived in Palm Beach, and I guess they lived in Palm Beach. But I wish her well, whatever it is. I don't know the situation with Prince Andrew. Just don't know. Not aware of it.
Like, he just says a lot of retarded shit.
And now it seems like all of a sudden somebody is in his ear and he's not, Edward said. So I'm hoping he'll come back to where he was back in 2009, be on the side of the victims and stand with us. Now, go ahead.
Jumping in again there. So guys, look, there is some percentage chance, you can put any percentage, usually based on your perspective on what that is, that Trump just volunteered because he knew Epstein, he did, right? So that makes it plausible. And he was in the same social circle, so that makes it plausible that Trump raised his hand and said, hey, I'd like to help your investigations, right? Okay. Or the reason why the attorney for the victims is saying, oh yeah, back in the day, Trump was really helpful, was because he was an FBI informant mm-hmm. who was forced to be helpful and was helpful to the victims back then. So that's interesting and amazing in and of itself. But then what he's alluding to is perhaps more remarkable. Why did he switch to now being opposed to the investigations and calling them a hoax when the attorney knows, the victims know, everybody knows, he knows it's not a hoax. He was in fact involved in it. So now it's because Mike Johnson, maybe he had a verbal hiccup, right? But when the attorneys for the victims confirm that Trump did help, it shows that he was involved. And again, normally they don't pick somebody out of the street to be involved. They pick some.
I don't think his attorney's confirmed in any meaningful sense, no? What? I feel like I remember watching one guy on TV say something like, I called Trump and he said that, he gave me a little bit of information about him working with Epstein and he didn't try to attack us all. Like, that was it, right? What? Is he referencing something else? Was there something different besides that one fucking call? Who was I debating? It wasn't Rob Noor, it was somebody else. Who was trying to, it was that one stupid conservative guy who was like, oh, didn't you know that Trump actually helped the FBI? He gave a public statement or something. Oh, wait, the guy tweeted about it. Who's got the tweets? And it was like, no, he didn't. What the f-? There's no official, there's no deposition, there's no log or record or court filing or anything with Trump testifying or being deposed related to Epstein. And then it was just this one stupid f-ing phone call, or it was like interview for media where the guy was like, oh yeah, he called me once and it was chill. Who, does anybody remember the name of the guy I debated? Because he had, oh, Misfit Patriot. I think this is what he's referring to.
But he's
vindicated. Although I did misspeak a bit and there was never an official deposition or testimony, Trump did in fact work with prosecutors in 2009. Receipts.
You said he testified in that criminal proceeding?
He testified again, or he, yeah, I believe he, or he gave a statement to the authorities. He might not have actually testified.
I just fact checked it. No, there was no testimony.
No, he gave testimony. I'm sorry. He gave testimony. He did not testify. And that's confirmed by the DOJ. The DOJ is confirmed.
He gave testimony where? For what? I don't think this happened ever. I don't think he ever was interviewed or deposed or gave any statements about Epstein.
He was, he did. I guarantee.
Anything that I can say.
Okay. This is the, I think this is what they're talking about, right?
That I can say about President Trump is that he is the only person who in 2009, when I served a lot of subpoenas on a lot of people, or at least gave notice to some pretty connected people that I was going, that I wanted to talk to them, he is the only person who picked up the phone and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know, and was very helpful in the information that he gave, and gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out and that helped us, and that we didn't have to take a deposition of.
By the way, where are my lawyers in chat?
That was in 2009.
Where are my lawyers in chat? By the way, that sounds exactly like a guy dodging a subpoena. If you serve me with a subpoena and I make a phone call to you and I'm like, hey, so I saw you have this shit that you either want like some kind of, you know, testimony, you want to depose me, you want some records. Can we, like, let's just chat a little bit, okay? And this is, we can like smooth over this. Like, we don't have to go down this road. Like, let me just tell you a few things, right? That's exactly what that is, by the way. And he even says it kind of, where he's like, yeah, you know, you don't have to depose me.
No indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward, what you need to know, and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know. And was very helpful in the information that he gave, and gave no indication who picked up the phone and said, let's just people that I was going, that I wanted to talk to them. He is the only person who picked up the phone and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know. And was very helpful in the information that he gave, and gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out and that helped us, and that we didn't have to take a deposition of him.
I was in 2009.
Didn't have to take a deposition means nothing was said under oath. He didn't sign on to any statements for contempt or perjury, liability or accountability. He just had a call on the phone. Like, that's the opposite of informing or testifying or anything. And it sounds like a guy who's trying to dodge a subpoena. If anything else, if you have any idea what the fuck you're talking about, that would be evidence to the contrary. But okay.
Confirm that Trump did help. It shows that he was involved.
This is why I don't trust any fucking media summarizing anything. Like, if I hadn't been aware of that thing, then I wouldn't even know. And then I would have to be aware of also of like legal shit to know. Because I guess if I didn't know anything about the legal process, that kind of sounds like Trump is helping. But it's not. This is Trump literally dodging. Sorry. I hate these people. Ugh.
The attorney knows, the victims know, everybody knows. He knows it's not a hoax. He was, in fact, involved in it. So now it's because Mike Johnson, maybe he had a verbal hiccup, right? But when the attorneys for the victims confirm that Trump did help, it shows that he was involved. And again, normally they don't pick somebody out of the street to be involved. They pick someone who was already involved and that they had evidence against.
Well, with all of that context in mind, you know, Congressman Thomas Massey, a libertarian who is really at odds with Donald Trump on this issue, recently went on ABC's This Week and he had some thoughts of his own. Let's take a look.
The lawyers for the victim said that Donald Trump had been helpful in 2009 in their case by giving them information, but being an informant implies some formal connection and ongoing relationship with the FBI. I don't know what that's all about. I think the speaker needs to clarify that. And if it's a hoax, why was Donald Trump an informant to a hoax?
Yeah, then Trump does continue referring to this as a hoax. So if there's evidence that the president of the United States, at a time when he wasn't president, of course, back in 2009, was cooperating with the FBI, potentially serving as an FBI informant, what has happened that leads him to now refer to this very real issue as a hoax? Again, it's not a hoax.
And one more thing about that. Think about it. If Donald Trump had voluntarily helped to get relief for those victims,
yeah,
is there any chance he wouldn't brag about it? Okay.
There is no chance. Like, he would definitely brag about it because it would make him look good.
It would make him look amazing. The one guy who helped that just volunteered out of nowhere and said to the FBI, you know what? I'm not sure about this guy. And maybe he did it for bad reasons. Oh, we had a property fight and he took some of my masseuses and from Mar-a-Lago, whatever. But it doesn't matter. If he did the right thing out of nowhere and volunteered, he should get an enormous amount of credit. I've never known Donald Trump not to want to get the credit that he deserves. So that's why the alternate explanation of he's desperately trying to hide that he was an FBI informant is because of why he was an informant.
God, my mind is like blown right now because there's more to the story, as you can imagine, right? So look, the DOJ is fighting very hard to cover certain things up that don't need to be covered up. So I'll give you an example. There's an NBC News exclusive. You can read for yourselves. It's titled DOJ Names of Two Associates Epstein Wired $100,000 and $250,000 Should Stay Secret. That's what the DOJ says, right? The Justice Department request came.
Because why would you? Well, never mind. My audience is brand. You guys are brain broken on this too. Never mind. Every single aspect of this investigation should just be leaked. Every single part of it, because every single person involved is guilty. Yes.
After NBC News asked a federal judge to unseal the names of two people Epstein paid and helped protect from prosecution. So NBC News has requested that this, you know, federal judge essentially overseeing the Epstein case unseal those two names. Who did Jeffrey Epstein send $100,000 to and $250,000 to back in 2018 as that case was being revisited? That sweetheart deal that he received in 2008 was being revisited. So the first associate received a payment of $100,000 from Epstein and the second associate received a payment of $250,000, both in 2018, days after the Miami Herald began publishing a series of investigative stories where victims criticized a plea deal he received in...
Destiny, lawyer in chat here, that is a terrible excuse and is 100% trying to dodge a subpoena. If not under oath, it means zero. True. And if I was a client, I feel like I would be f***ing mad, right? If we're serving subpoenas, the idea is supposed to be that this person has information that can help me with my claim. And now if my lawyer tells me, hey, just so you know, I went ahead and I called this guy and he actually said he had nothing, just so you know. And I was like, can you tell me what you guys talked about? I was like, oh, maybe, maybe not. But I have no record of it. And now we're not, now our subpoena on him is just canceled? Who are you representing here? The other guy or me, you know?
Florida in 2008. Now, as part of that plea agreement, Epstein secured a statement from federal prosecutors in Florida that the two individuals would not be prosecuted. Now, by the way, like, gross. Why? Why would anyone agree to that? But prosecutors wrote that on November 30th, 2018, Epstein wired $100,000 from a trust account he controlled to an individual named as, redacted, a potential co-conspirator and for whom Epstein obtained protection in the NPA. So prosecutors also wrote that this individual was also named and featured prominently in the Miami Herald series. There's more. Prosecutors added that the same records show that just 3 days later, on or about December 3rd, 2018...
Really? You're saying someone giving sufficient info to get an arrest? Well, first of all, this is for a civil case, not for arrest. Like your house camera footage, it makes you look less guilty or involved if they have to subpoena you to get it. Yes, because let's say somebody subpoenas me and they say, Destiny, I want all of your Discord logs with my mom. Okay? Now, let's say that I call you and I'm like, hey, listen, I see that you want to like shoot me the subpoena. How about we cancel this and I'll just send you like everything I've got? And you're like, oh, okay. Well, let's say that I don't send you all my logs with your mom. Let's say I just send you like the last month or two's worth and all of the super... Racy logs are, you know, all of our crazy conversations were from a year ago. Well, if that happens and I withhold some of that and I lie about giving it all to you, you go through your case and you lose because you don't have that information now about me banging your mom. What are you going to do? You can't hold me liable for any of that. What do you mean? None of this was under oath. None of this was compelled by, you can't hold me in contempt. You can't do anything. You eat shit, get fucked. You didn't come at me with a civil subpoena that's enforceable via contempt with the court. I just made a personal phone call and gave you what I said I had and that's it.
Defendant wired $250,000 from the same trust account to redacted, this is the second individual, who was also named as a potential co-conspirator and for whom Epstein also obtained protection in the NPA. So clearly Epstein was attempting to influence possible witnesses or co-conspirators, because like why else would you send such a large sum of money to these two different individuals? And last month, NBC News sent a letter asking the U.S. District Judge Richard Berman to unseal the redacted names, arguing that, look, Epstein's dead, okay, criminal proceedings in this case have ended. The DOJ has made clear last summer, in July, that there would be no additional charges filed against uncharged third parties, so let us have the names. What's the problem with the names? And Trump's Justice Department is fighting tooth and nail to prevent the release of those two redacted names.
Yeah, so when I first saw the story, I thought, maybe they were victims and he's doing hush money. But then once you read it, no, it's super clear. They're co-conspirators and they would have been charged along with him. So they're the guilty, right? And he gets the money and he says, please don't prosecute them. And for some ludicrous reason, our government
agrees. The donor class.
And remember, right at that point, Epstein got the lightest sentence anybody's ever gotten. He can go in and out of jail.
That was in 2008.
Yeah. So that's when he says, okay, don't prosecute these guys and sends them the money, okay? So, but when NBC News is asking for it, Epstein's already dead. So he has no rights anymore. And the government has said there will be no further prosecutions. So NBC is rightly saying, and by the way, great job by NBC News here, saying, hey, then there's no reason legally to hold those names from the public.
Well, the damaged party wouldn't be Epstein. It would be the people whose names would be leaked.
Right.
So then the Department of Justice job said, no, don't tell anybody about those names. Now, if you were trying to protect the victims, that's super weird. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to protect the guilty, that makes sense.
Why are you saying the guilty? Not only have these people not been convicted of any crimes, these people weren't even charged with crimes. There wasn't even probable cause to charge them with a crime or to even attempt to solicit an indictment from a grand jury. And you're already calling them guilty? Jesus. Okay, remember, when we had a sitting senator from Michigan on the Hill, okay, it was roasted on Israel Palestine. The only thing they talked about was to roast the fuck out of her. I wonder how contentious this interview will be with fucking MAGA spokesperson Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's one of the most disgusting, despicable, subhuman, cretinous fucks that is infesting our federal Congress right now. Let's see.
Back on TYT.
Or not the Hill. Breaking Point, sorry.
Jen Huger and Anna Kasparian with you guys. Also now joining us, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman from Georgia's 14th Congressional District. Representative Greene, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on tonight.
No problem. I understand you have big news for us. There is something you are considering introducing tomorrow. What is that?
Well, actually, I've already introduced them. This week here in Congress, we're doing the National Defense Authorization Act, which is our annual funding.
Oh, my God. Are they going to take away funding from Israel? Yes. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
For our military. And our military budget should be very focused on our country, on our military, and strictly for defense purposes. However, once again, there is funding for foreign countries, foreign causes, foreign aid, and foreign defense of foreign nations. And
that's
so I've introduced multiple amendments to strip that funding out, specifically to defund $600 million for Ukraine. So I've got one amendment to do that. And then I have a second amendment to take out any funding because I found out that one of my colleagues is trying to add more money in for Ukraine. I have two amendments that strip funding from Israel. This would be $500 million. Israel already receives $3.8 billion annually from the United States government. I'm a big believer in defunding all foreign aid and all foreign funding for all foreign countries. So
guys,
I've introduced two amendments, one to get the $500 million out of the NDAA. The $3.8 billion goes in the state and foreign ops appropriates bill, so that's separately. And I had done amendments for that. And then I have another amendment that takes out another $105 million. This one is $55 million for Israel's counter-drone program and another $70 million for anti-tunnel cooperation. So it's just important. We're $37 trillion dollars in debt. We shouldn't be funding foreign countries, basically because America's broke, and we really need to get focused on our own country and our own people's problems.
Our own country and our own people. That sounds like a job for a Department of Defense, not a Department of War. Destiny, to be fair, this isn't a different show with different interviewer. Emma isn't crystal ball. Well, no, I'm just saying that these are like, look at how our leftists, quote unquote, treat our senators who are supposed to be on our side fighting valiantly in purple states versus look at how the left treats people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's just crazy. But we'll see. Maybe it'll be a very contentious interview. Who knows? Maybe they'll push her on some things.
Okay, so I want to take it one by one. I want to get clarity on all this, and then we'll get into the content and substance of it. So first off, the $500 million that you introduced an amendment to take out the NDAA, is that the one that recently passed overwhelmingly in the House?
Yes, that's the one that overwhelmingly passed. It was before Congress went on recess, and only six members of Congress voted for it. Yes.
And so that they claim is for defensive purposes, whatever that means. And about million of it goes to around 66 maybe to Iron Dome, and the rest is.
Did you say Emma? Somebody else said Emma, but it was Crystal Ball interviewing on Breaking Points.
For I don't know if you know vague defense purposes.
Well, just to clarify for your listeners, the U.S. already provides nuclear-armed Israel with $3.8 billion annually in foreign aid. In 2024, in the security supplemental, we gave $8.7 billion to Israel. During the recent 12-day war with Iran in June, the U.S. used 15 to 20% of our terminal high-altitude area defense missile stockpile defending Israel. That cost the United States somewhere over $800 million.
Wow.
The $500 million that I'm introducing an amendment to take out is authorized in the NDAA for this program that funds Israel's missile defense systems, Iron Dome, David Sling, and the Arrow system. But it's important to note that since 2006, we've spent over $15 billion supporting these Israeli missile defense systems. Here's what is something important to.
That's a horrible comparison, but your brain broke when it comes to anything the Young Turks. Excuse me, do the Young Turks not still market themselves as like leftist progressives? I would say they're considerably worse than Crystal Ball and Kyle Kalinske. But supposedly, I think these guys kind of say they're on the same team. No, am I wrong there? Do the Young Turks not call themselves leftists or leftist populists anymore?
To understand, while we're $37 trillion in debt, Israel is less than $400 billion in debt.
Wow.
And they're doing so well with their economy, they're able to provide state-funded healthcare for Israeli citizens. They're able to provide state-funded college. My argument is it's not anti-Semitic to say that America should keep our money and invest our own hard-earned tax dollars in our own interests, especially for a country like Israel that is nuclear-armed and that is doing so well economically, they're able to provide state-funded healthcare and college. I don't think that's a country that needs our...
Because that's definitely things that Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to offer in the United States, for sure.
Especially how they've shown the entire world that they're very capable of annihilating and wiping out their enemies. So that's really my argument there with Israel.
Right.
And primarily my argument is we've got so many problems here at home. I really want to see the United States Congress focus on the American people.
So one more quick point of clarification. And the Second Amendment is to take out the entire $3.8 billion in funding?
Well, the $3.8 billion is not in the NDAA. That's in a separate appropriations bill. So I wasn't able to do that one here.
Right.
Oh, so you couldn't do that here. So the two amendments are for the $500 million and the $125 million.
Yeah. And just to be clear, the $3.8 billion that we provide Israel every single year is part of legislation that passed under the Obama administration, a 10-year program, which is set to expire in 2026. So that fight is coming up because I'm sure Israel is going to expect our Congress to re-up and potentially increase the amount of money they can expect from American taxpayers on a yearly basis. So, you know, I think what you're doing here is so important, Congresswoman Green. So please, thank you, because I know that you now have a target on your back, and I'm sure you're being called all sorts of ridiculous names because you want to, you know, prioritize the American people and, you know, do something about our debt. What's really interesting, though, is when it comes to the military aid that's provided to Ukraine, you know, President Donald Trump has very subtly, but I actually think this is a smart idea, has very subtly kind of started to shift the financial burden a little more over to Europe. So the American taxpayer isn't as responsible for essentially helping Ukraine in their defense. In the case of Israel, though, what's really interesting is on top of that $3.8 billion that they receive every single year, you know, you have presidents, and Biden certainly did this literally over 100 times during his administration. He just went, like, he bypassed Congress altogether to provide Israel with tens of billions of dollars in additional military support and military funding. And Trump has done similar things during the short stint he's had in his second term. And I want to kind of understand, what have you as...
It's Biden and Trump.
Both sides do it. What are you talking about?
No, he doesn't feel like he believes it there. Oh, I said this before for this one. I think I need a different one.
Both sides do it. What are you talking about?
Because it sounds like he's saying that both sides are different in this one. That's what the tone of voice leads me to believe.
The Congresswoman experience, kind of like behind the scenes, like, what is it about Israel in particular that gets our lawmakers to just be unwavering in their support and their willingness to shell out endless amounts of money to that country?
Yeah, what's going on there?
These people have a mental disorder.
That's what's going on.
I think that's a great question, and it's really difficult to understand. So I don't go on the AIPAC trips. I've never been on them. I don't receive their funding, and I have a sign on my office door, literally, that reminds people, if you're coming in my office, it reminds them, if you're coming in for a foreign country, you've got to be registered under FARA. And I think that's extremely important. I don't understand.
More of this, the propaganda talking points. AIPAC doesn't receive money from Israel, or if it does, that's never been proven. There's never been a proven link or connection there, but they just like to say that over and over again. Nice.
I understand it, Anna, because I serve in the United States House of Representatives, and I believe my job title as a representative is for my district, which is the American people. And as a whole, the body of Congress, we represent.
That's your district? All of the United States? When did we do that redistricting?
Represent the American people and our country and our government and our causes. And we're supposed to work towards solving our problems. However, there is no country all over the world that gets the attention, the funding, the dedication, the amount of votes, legislation, resolutions other than Israel. As a matter of fact, we've voted, I think it's over 21 to 23 resolutions denouncing anti-Semitism, denouncing anything happening towards Jewish people since I've been a member of Congress, January of 2021. And I've never seen resolutions for any other cause like that in that number, as well as when it comes to Israel, you know, we have hate crimes, which is incredibly important. We need hate crimes. People of all backgrounds, races, no matter what their identity is, they should be protected. However, in our NDAA, there's a portion there where they're introducing more penalties for anti-Semitism when it comes to college campuses and protesting. I'm completely against that. So I'm not sure how to answer your question of why. Part of it is there's Christians in America that really believe that verse in Genesis, bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And they believe that applies today to the secular government of Israel.
Oh, it's of course. It's the Bible.
Oh, of course.
That's it.
I personally don't believe that, and I'm a Christian, and I believe that's basically a pretty big stumbling stone. If you're a Christian, you truly believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose three days later and ascended into heaven, and we have very deep convictions on what that meant. That meant that he died for all of our sins to be forgiven. We don't believe in that verse in Genesis, meaning that covers up everything that Jesus did. But I think that holds a lot of power over many of my colleagues and a certain percentage of Americans today. But I think the separation of understanding that being against what the secular government, nuclear armed government of Israel is doing, it doesn't make you an anti-Semitic person. It doesn't make you against Jewish people. It just means that, and for me, it means that I believe our problems are so big in America and our debt is so massive that I'm sorry to the rest of the world. No offense to anyone, but I think we just really got to focus at home.
You know,
what happened to focusing on the debt with that one big beautiful bill, though? What did that? What was going on there?
My follow-up to you is more philosophical than policy-related, because I don't think I'm mistaken in noticing a change in you, to be quite frank. And it's a change that I personally like. There's a certain seriousness and maturity in the way.
This is the Jewish space laser lady.
Oh,
this is the, where are the Facebook posts? Oh my God. She was an unironic QAnon supporter, right? She believed in Q, that he was going to show up.
That you deliver what your objectives are and how you genuinely want to serve what's in the best interests of your constituents and the people of this country. Do you feel that, you know, the way that this, you know, genocide in Gaza has developed has kind of given you a different perspective on geopolitics?
Bro, she doesn't give a fuck about the genocide in Gaza. She just wants to not fund Israel, and she's an isolationist. This person doesn't care.
Well, I think there's two parts to that question, and I appreciate your observation. In the beginning, the media was pretty rough on me.
Right.
So it was hard for a lot of people to really understand who I am as a person. And when I ran for Congress in 2020, what a lot of people may not know is I actually ran criticizing the Republican Party. I had a lot of criticism of Republicans. And I said that many times on my campaign trail, so my district knows it full well. That is no surprise to them. I think the Republican Party fails in many ways, and I'm open about that. Now, when it comes to what's happening in Gaza, there's videos and pictures of what's happening to children that you just can't unsee. Mm-hmm. And anyone that has a heart and compassion for children and innocent people, I don't know how anyone can turn a blind eye to that. But I've also stated that October 7th was horrific, and I stand by those statements. I think both things are really bad. And then I talked to Christian pastors in Gaza, and they told me that the starvation of children is real. This is not war propaganda. This is not made up. And so it was taking some investigation and talking to people and looking deeply into actual evidence I'm seeing with videos and pictures. And, you know, I just can't unsee it. I think it's terrible. And that war, it really, truly needs to end.
There's a certain authenticity in the way you're reacting to it that I really value, because you look at so many politicians, and even in the face of mass atrocities, they're just robots. And so I really appreciate the fact that you've been speaking out against what's happening in Gaza. I'm sure that it has attracted all sorts of terrible attention toward you. But please keep doing what you're doing, because it's necessary. And I think that what's currently happening, because we're paying for it, we're aiding and abetting it. It's a stain on our country, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, so I just want to follow up on that real quick. So Representative Green, you know, your reaction that Anna just described.
Look at the glaze fest. Look at what I'm talking about. Remember what I said before? Republicans and lefties, they all virtue signal, and they all purity test. But the difference is the right purity tests around political power, and the left purity tests around whatever autistic shit they get on their fucking phones at night and tweet about. Marjorie Taylor Greene is counted as an in-group supporter person here. But the reason why is because the issue that they're purity testing on has to do with fucking Israel Gaza. And that's enough for them to bring her on and softball her. Now, maybe this interview is going to get a lot tougher, as opposed to, you know, any Democrat that these guys spend the majority of their program roasting the fuck out of.
Human reaction to seeing children, you know, being killed right in front of our eyes, and not a little bit, like tens of thousands of children, right, is a normal human reaction. But yet it is not the reaction that an overwhelming majority of your colleagues.
It's the donor class.
Are feeling, apparently. So that, what did you guys get? 6 votes last time for similar legislation, right? And so now the media tells us that when you look at why, that it's because Israel is apparently some special magical place and that we owe them. I don't know why we owe them, but we're told all the time we owe them, right? And so I don't know that America ever did anything wrong to Israel. All America's ever done is support Israel over and over and over and over again. And even in the middle of a genocide, but still apparently we owe them. And it's offensive to suggest that we don't owe them. But yet again, the overwhelming majority of our colleagues say, no, we do owe Israel. And you are not allowed to criticize. You're not allowed to question their money. And so you've gotten attacked. And
you know what they really say, Cenk? Say what you really feel.
Be civil. Don't do anything.
Exactly.
Anna's gotten attacked, Tom Massey, etc. So real quick, I want to run down the possibilities. Media says money has nothing to do with it, though a lot of Americans think money has a lot to do with it. That AIPAC has given to 65% of Congress. The different Israel PAC supporting Israel have given to 90% of the members of Congress. So do you believe money is a factor in your colleagues' votes on this issue?
I completely believe money is a factor. I watch it every single day here in Congress. The people that I work with, who they're funded by, affects their votes. Many of the doctors' caucus during COVID, the doctors, many of them I served with on the COVID committee, they're very, very funded by Big Pharma, and they wouldn't talk about the COVID vaccines.
Wow. The doctors' caucus was more pro-vax than not? I wonder what's going on there. Definitely, it must.
Donor class.
Absolutely. No other possible way to explain that one, Chief.
And that was so disturbing to me. I think that's a very important topic and investigation that needs to happen. And I'm pursuing it right now as we speak. Many of the members that I serve with that are highly funded by the military industrial complex, they're going to make sure that those government contracts and all of that gets funded. They believe in a war economy. And they will flat out tell us that they'll say, Marjorie, you have thousands of jobs in your district that rely on these government contracts. Well, you want to know something? I'm not very interested in funding an economy that's based on.
Quick aside, you spend a lot of time criticizing retards. You just hate Israel. But what do you think the U.S.'s position should actually be with them? The U.S. could force a lot of action from Israel. But the problem is that you need to have a leader who has a vision for the Middle East in terms of what Israel's place should be and how they should resolve conflicts. That's the big issue. So, I think the U.S. could theoretically exercise quite a bit of leverage on Israel. But you would need a leader who knows you need a leader who understands what he wants Israel to do, and we just don't have that. I don't know if Biden didn't have a strong opinion about it, or he was like super pro-Zionist, or there's just a bunch of other shit going on domestically or not, but somebody has to have a vision for what that region should look like. What is your vision? That's what I'm asking. I would flex as much as possible to try to make both sides come to some kind of resolution, like force them to actually negotiate with each other. I would force Israel, the Palestinian Authority should be in charge of the Gaza Strip is one thing. I think that there needs to be a unified government between the Palestinians, and then you give a ton of aid to both sides, right? Gaza was the highest per capita recipient of aid in the world, and Israel gets a lot of money from the United States as well every year. Like, you have leverage, you've got the ability to force them to come to the table and negotiate on shit, so force them to do it.
On killing people, especially innocent people and children.
I love it.
And but yes, I do believe that AIPAC funding is very serious. I believe AIPAC needs to register under FARA. I've openly
You have to prove that they're getting foreign funding, and that wouldn't just be them registering under FARA. Then you'd probably prosecute them for crimes because they have unreported foreign donations going the whole time. It's not good.